Hey, Bob.
Hey, Dave, how are you?
Oh, not too bad. Just went, got a couple new tires for my car.
Yep.
Got a free tire. Got two new tires. Got one old tire.
That's interesting.
So, yeah, the two front tires were bald on my car, pretty much, you know,
Oh, boy.
and because I probably didn't rotate them, you know, enough. The
Yeah.
back two are great, and I bought them all at the same time, which shows to you that I don't rotate my tires properly.
Is your vehicle front wheel drive?
Yeah.
That's why. Yeah.
Yeah, so, and you know, I had a nail in my back tire, and I had a plug put in at
Yeah.
a little tire place by my house.
Yeah.
And when I go back to Discount Tire, if you have a tire that you bought from them and you had to put a plug in it, they will replace it with a brand new tire because the tire is now unsafe.
Interesting. That's cool.
Which, to be honest with you, I've driven with multiple plugs and tires, but shit, if they're gonna give me a new tire.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. Yeah.
Very
Just have to
cool.
pay $11 for the new warranty on the tire.
Right.
So,
Yeah,
because I went to
that's
my
hard
mom's,
to
I slid past my mom's about 30 feet this
Holy smokes.
Monday. You know, I just kept sliding. I'm like, okay, I gotta go get the two tires. I was hoping to wait till spring, you know.
Right, yeah. No,
So.
Dave, that's stupid. This is
No.
a winter tire. I know. That would have
I
been
thought they were good enough, but not until I
No.
actually hit the snow and the ice. I'm like, nope, you know what? It's not working.
I insist that any vehicle that I'm associated with, mine or my kids or, you know, whatever, all have good tires on them. The difference between driving a vehicle in wintertime with good tires as opposed to okay tires is night and day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then I went to Costco, and wasn't too bad at Costco, you know.
Yeah.
There's actually maybe like three or four people in a line, you
Yeah.
know. Dropped $300 there, which
Yeah.
isn't bad.
For two tires?
No, I'm saying at Costco
Oh, for just
for
grocery
the
buying.
grocery there. But no, the three tires I got with the warranty, and they had to replace one of the sensors.
Yeah.
Cost me $210 for three tires and a sensor.
Holy
So it's
shit,
not bad.
that's a steal.
Yeah, that's a great deal.
Yeah.
So, but
Well, cool.
how's everything on your end?
All good. All good.
Yeah.
Your turkey looked great, by the way. That turkey breast.
You know what? That breast, I'm trying to remember what I did to it. I mean, I don't remember what I rubbed. I think I put garlic powder and onion powder on it or something.
Yeah.
And my wife's like, "Why are you doing that?" And I tell you what, after it got cooked, and then I
Yeah.
put it in with like 500 degrees,
Yep.
man, that just made a big difference. It was great. That was so tasty. That was
Yeah.
that turkey breast was better than the whole big turkey I had.
Sure.
So.
Well, you put a little more care into it. And that technique of cooking low and then cooking high works out great. People don't realize that when you cook it at high for any length of time, you get some residual cooking. So you got to make sure you don't have it almost cooked all the way, because the residual heat after you take it out of a 500 degree oven is going to bring that temperature up probably about another 10 degrees or so. So you just have to be a little careful. Pull it out, put your oven back up, and then put it in at 500 when it's at about 150 degrees or so, because an extra half an hour at 500 is going to bring that internal temperature probably up to 165 at that point.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what I did. You know, I couldn't figure out how long to cook the regular turkey for because there's
Yeah.
so many variables, you know.
Yeah.
And cooking it in the bag,
Probably 3.5, 4 hours.
that, I mean, it was just barely 3.5 hours, and that thing was
Yeah.
I put the thermometer in it,
Yeah.
and it went up to like 180. I'm like, holy shit, I got to get it out of here.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, it's
but.
trapped heat. There's a technique of cooking a turkey or chickens. The Girl Scouts do it, where you actually use a garbage can, you make a fire, and you put the turkey on a spit or a stake in the ground, holding it up in the air, and then you put a garbage can, a metal garbage can over it, and you put the coals around the outside, and for about 3 hours, and the turkeys come out perfect, because they basically get continuous heat from the outside, and because they're staked on, you know, they're upside down and staked, they kind of like self-baste. And I've done that. We did that at football games a couple of times. We did that. We used to have a tank that was from an old stainless steel tank that was on a filter for a pool, and we used that. We'd put my brother-in-law made a metal stake with a crossbar on it, so you'd stick the turkey over that, stick it in the ground, start a fire with the coals, and just leave the coals around it. We'd go into the game, and when we came out of the game, you know, 3 hours later, the turkey was just about falling off the stakes, and we'd have turkey after the game.
It's almost like you made an aluminum green egg, you know, those green eggs?
Yeah, it's basically what it is. It's just like one of those. Yeah. That,
you know, put no vents in it?
Any what?
Vents. Like the vents? Or
no,
vents,
no
you,
vent. No vent. It doesn't need it because the heat is on the outside of the tank, not on the inside. The green egg things have the heat on the inside, so you do need to have a vent. But when the when all the coals are on the outside of the tank itself just gets really, really hot. The air inside it is probably about 300, 350 degrees, but it's a nice even heat all the way around, and it's unbelievable doing it that way. My brother-in-law used to do it at his house too. Like if he was having a party, he would do the thing in his backyard, built up a little fire on the outside of it, and let it cook in the afternoon. And when you open that thing up, you'd be surprised. Tender, juicy, falling off the bones. Unbelievable. About 3 hours.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I got a regular barbecue, and that's about it. I have like a fire pit thing, but it's got a grate on top of it where you could throw some hamburgers or hot dogs, but it's so warped because it's so old and got heated so many times. The thing is not even, it's not even round anymore. It's more like it's egg shaped.
Yeah. Yeah. The heat and cold will definitely warp the shit out of metal.
Yeah.
Well, cool.
So how's the holiday coming? Is it people starting to think about
it? It's okay.
Stuff?
It's not as good. It's not as good as I was hoping. It's still. I mean, this is the week. This week and next week are the two big weeks. Because after those 2 weeks, the odds. The only thing you're selling, from my point of view, is going to be finished jewelry. Because people can't make anything. They're still able to put a ring together or something like that right now. And it's not as brisk as I was hoping it was going to be, but it's okay. I'm still up about 20% over last year, so I really can't complain much. I'm almost right now. Let me just see something. I just was curious to see this number. Come on. Good Lord, I've got to go through hoops here. Hang on a minute. I'm like $20,000 away from what I did all of last year, and I've got pretty much most of Christmas season here to go. So.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'll be up over last year. How much over last year, I don't know. My November wasn't very good this year. I had a few things out in November, but nothing seemed to go over very well. But I'm hoping December makes up for it. But we'll see. It is what it is. There's not much I can do about it. It's if the stores aren't asking for stuff, I can't sell it. It's not like I have any control over, you know, what's going on in the stores.
Yeah. Are you planning on doing another Disney trip with your family and your grandson and them again?
Not anytime soon. I mean, that trip cost me almost $40,000, and
Oh yeah.
I don't know if I could. I mean, I could do it again, but I don't know if I will at this point. You know, I can't enjoy it as much as I used to. That even when I did it, 3 years ago, it wasn't as enjoyable for me personally. I wasn't able to do a lot of the things I wanted to do. Between, you know, getting motion sickness and having neck issues and things like that, a lot of stuff I just passed. I was the one that waited outside the rides while they went in and things like that. It wasn't all that pleasurable for me. Granted, my grandkids would love for me to foot the bill and do it again. But whether I'm going to do that again or not, I don't think so. But we'll see. You never know. I told him I would, maybe I would consider someplace else. I don't think I would do Disney again because it's just, I mean, it's great if you're young and you've got the ability to move around a lot, but, you know, my wife and I are well into our 70s. It would be, it's harder, probably more on her than it is on me. I can still get around pretty well. But, you know, it's just too many things that make it difficult.
Yeah. No, I understand. Believe me. When I used to, I haven't been there in a while for like a full trip, but I mean, before I go, I used to get on my exercise bike and move my knees for about 3 weeks before just so I can make it through the trip, you know?
Yeah.
Well, right now I don't know how that would even be possible for me, but it'd definitely be a slow moving trip.
I slipped on, I was getting rid of leaves in my backyard and, they were wet, and so I was trying to blow them. I have a fence. It's not a real secure fence. It's like chicken wire kind of fence in the back. It's green color, and it's just kind of like stretched back there. It doesn't have a whole lot of things holding it up, and it's basically just to keep when Lisa brings the dogs over. The dogs don't know how sturdy the fence is. They could plow right through it if they realized it.
Yeah.
But they just see it, and they don't try to get up past it. But it's not real sturdy or anything, and it's just connected to, like, some trees that run along the property line and things like that. Well, there was a pile of leaves in there, and over all the years we've lived here, there's a lot of stones in my ground around here, a lot of big rocks. We built, when I put the pool up years ago, as I was digging the hole to put the pool in, I was pulling rocks out. There was enough rocks, I put a whole wall along that back edge of my property. So big stones, and there was leaves on top of them, and I'm back there trying to get rid of the leaves, and I forgot how many big stones are underneath it, and I stepped down one of them, and it slipped. My foot slipped off, and I fell up against the fence, and I fell forward first and then rolled out of the fence, and I hit my shin just below my knee. My God, you wouldn't believe how that, I mean, it was big, big rock. The rock probably weighed 100 pounds. And I hit that thing, and my knee, my shin swelled up. I mean, it was probably as thick as an inch. big rock. And I just kind of, I know that, I pulled my pant leg up and took a look at it. I didn't see any blood, so I figured I'm okay, even though it was swollen up a little bit. At the time, it was only a little bit. So I continued to work around the yard. And then for about a half an hour, I did yard work, trying to finish it up. And I could feel my leg tightening up, the skin and stuff on there. So I come in the house, and I pull up my pant leg. Now this thing is gigantic. It's probably, it looks like a big piece of bologna on my leg, thick, about an inch thick. And I says, oh, yeah, the color doesn't look good. None of that looks good. So I showed it to my wife. She says, oh, my God, are you okay and everything? And I says, yeah, I'm going to go to the store now. Because I just figured eventually that's going to really catch up to me. So I got to get everything done before I did that. It's been 10 days, maybe a little bit more than that now, and my leg is still sore as shit.
You know? Wow. Oh, I thought this was something you did a while ago. You just did that.
I did it 10 days ago.
Oh, my God.
10 days ago, and I look at it now. I lift up my pant leg, and it's still purple, and because I'm on blood thinners, the blood, like, flows down, and I've got a ring around my calf that's purple from the settlement of the blood in there and everything, and it's sore to touch. So when you think about going to someplace like Disney, I'm thinking to myself, good Lord.
Oh, my God.
I would something like this would happen to me. I would trip. I'd hit my knee on something like that, and I'd be fucked up with all the time I was down there. So that kind of thing keeps me from even planning something like that, just because I know now it's such any little thing turns into something big.
Well, if you want to go to Disney, this is what you do. You sit in front of your TV about 3 feet away.
Yeah.
You go on YouTube and you go about 6, 7, 8 o'clock at night. You go live stream Disney. There's a couple of people that walk through the park, just leisurely walk through the park, and they're talking and stuff, and you're just leisurely just walking through the park.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
You know, I've had, you know, they've got these 3D, you know, virtual goggle things that you can wear. My Oculus, my grandson's got a set of them. And I get motion sickness pretty easy, and most of those game-type things are just too much for me. I mean, they can make me nauseous pretty quick. But I don't understand why there isn't a place you could go. Now, picture this. The malls are dead. So you take a spot in a mall where you have these, like, really nice, comfy seats. You sit down and you put these 3D goggles on. And everybody in the place is going through a 3D version of some of the best places in the world. You're going to the pyramids of Egypt. You're going to the Eiffel Tower. You're going to, I don't know, any other place you can think of. And just do these things with 3D virtual cameras to do this thing. And having it, you know, the place could be set up so that it's going to be Paris one day. And on the Paris day, you're smelling fresh bread cooking. You're smelling the things that are going on in the place. It's all doing all these things. And you're just going through a place where you get a virtual travel to pretty much all of the best places in the world, you know? I would pay money
for that. That would be good for, like, that would be good for, like, homebound people, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. But if you did that in a spot in the mall where you could, you know, you took over, like, a department store that closed or something like that, and maybe in different sections you can go to different places, so it wouldn't always be the same thing. So in one section, you know, it's going to be sights and sounds of Paris, one in Rome, one in, you know, Sao Paulo, Brazil, one... Mm-hmm. You know, one in Egypt, one here, one there. And you just have, not only do you have the visual expression of the place on there, but you actually impart smells and everything. So you're sitting there in this really comfy location. You're going to spend 2 hours there. They could have food for you if you wanted, all kinds of things. I think it would be a great thing to do, because how many people wouldn't want to see all these things around the world? But as you get older like me, and you know physically you're not able to do it anymore, to be able to see all these things in a 3D viewer kind of thing, I think would be great. I would pay, you know, for something like that, for a two-hour thing, my wife and I'd pay 10, 20 bucks a piece. Easy.
Yeah. Yeah, you could probably do a New Orleans one through the French Quarter and just have the smell of old beer cans and strippers.
That's true. You could do New York City, and as I described New York City when we went, it smelled like yesterday's Chinese food. Any place you went, it smelled like yesterday's Chinese food. Yeah,
naturally. Really?
Yeah, it was awful. It was awful. But you wouldn't use that smell. You would use something different, you know, because you want this to be a fun experience and everything.
Yeah.
But I really think that would be a way they could utilize space that's not being used for anything. Any company that wanted to do it, I think you would be able to do it. If you just send people to these areas, you know, and have them film, you know, like you don't golf, right?
No.
Okay, but you can go, like, they send people to all the golf courses. There's a company, like, I have a GPS on this thing. my GPS shows, like, when I plug in, when I'm in an area of a golf course, I just pick the one that's on the screen there, and it'll take me right to that golf course. So it tells me my distance, you know, from the flag and everything, because they've had people that go out there and they actually film it, and they do these things. And it's kind of like Google Earth, but this would be more in-depth and more 3D. And I just think this would be a way for people to enjoy travel that can't travel. Or maybe you do it that way first, and then you actually go there. If you're thinking about going someplace, you kind of get the, you know, the virtual tour.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
I just think that would be a fantastic idea.
I mean, it sounds pretty good, only because I like to, once in a while, I'll go online, and there is people walking through places live with a camera.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at night, especially in the evening. And then, in fact, today while I was waiting for my car, I don't know, I was flipping, and all of a sudden I came up with two truckers, semi-truck drivers.
Yeah.
They got cameras on their dashboard, and you're just watching them go down the road with traffic and the signs and going through cities.
Yeah, YouTube?
It's kind of funny. Yeah, on YouTube.
Yeah. See, it's that same it's that same thing. I just want to amp it up a little bit, so like it's a 3D thing, so that when you're doing some of these virtual tours in 3D, if you're facing one way, you can turn and face the other way and see what it looks like going that way too. You know, so you're not confined to just the view that the one person has. These are people who go there that go there with cameras and actually do that. So it's put into a computer, and it's able to be delivered to you that way, because that would be so cool. And then if you did it, like I said, in a mall, I mean, you could do it at home too. If you wanted to do that, you could pay a subscription price and go to different places and everything. But I think doing it like in a mall and having it where the they actually create the atmosphere, like the temperature, the smells, that kind of thing, to make it even more realistic, I think you could charge a real premium for that. And I think because you would have all the best places, you could actually go, people might go there, especially older people or people with more free time, might go almost every day, go different places, you know, 2-3 times a week maybe.
It's kind of like Total Recall with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, very much like that, yeah. Or the holodeck on Star Trek.
Holodeck. Did you ever go to Google Maps and take the little guy on the bottom right and pick him up and drag him onto the screen and drop him? You could drop him in a museum.
Really?
And then you could walk through, like, the Louvre.
Yeah.
You can walk through, you can turn 360 and everything, yeah.
Well, that's pretty much it. That's pretty much the same thing, except that with just the addition of a 3D viewer, so that you're not just looking at it on a screen. You actually move your head and everything to it, yeah.
Cool.
I don't know.
Cool.
Anyway, all right, well, it's good to talk to you. Anything going on, let me know.
I will. No problem, Bob. Right. Good luck to you. I hope you make some good money this year.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care, Bob.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.